Greetings. I am Zach, employee of Anime News Network and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Lindsay, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to us the day we held aloft our magic swords and sang... Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Lindsay Loveridge is here.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. You guys might notice I sound better this week.
Yeah. Had to do a little tech support on that one, huh?
Yeah. Turns out if you unplug the webcam, your microphone works. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'm thankful for that.
Me too. Glad to no longer sound like I'm drowning.
Like you're underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're finally past preview guide. Oh, boy.
Sort of.
Simuldub guide starts on Monday, so, you know,
yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah.
There will be more of it. And we got our daily streaming up and running, so that's you can check the schedule for that on the site. But before we get to into the hardcore anime talk, you know, like we do on the show.
Yeah.
Have you seen any movies lately?
I did. I saw one really good one.
What's that?
I finally saw Parasite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little late to the game on it, but I managed to keep myself out of the spoilers. So the twist, like in the middle of the movie, like totally got me. It was great.
I was also super late on Parasite. It took me a while to get to it. But when I finally did, I was like, wow, this is like the fourth really great movie about just eating the rich alive that totally spoke to me from last year. Like,
yeah.
There were four of them. So there was Hustlers.
Good movie.
Great movie. There was my favorite, Ready or Not.
Also great movie.
There was Parasite.
This one's probably my favorite of the four.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, and then number four was Knives Out.
Also great movie.
Great movies, like a lot of class commentary, which I personally really appreciated. Like those movies are very cathartic and like fun to watch, and also just they had so much to say. Like thematically, they were potent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can go wrong watching any of them. And Parasite was a really great film. They're expanding it. Apparently, they're turning it into a series on Netflix or something.
It's either Netflix or HBO.
One of those.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Something
and
like that.
I don't think it's the same characters necessarily.
No, he says
just
he's
the same world. Yeah.
He said he's expanding it.
Right.
But the director was nominated for a whole bunch of Academy Awards for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a shoe because so it was nominated for both Best Picture and Best International Feature.
Right.
It's pretty much guaranteed to win the first one, but it's guaranteed. I think it's basically a lock for Best International Feature.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was it's a pretty brilliant film. What did you generally overall think?
I liked it a lot. One of the things about it that I think it touched on that the other three didn't was about how the wealthy try to pit the poor against each other and then maintain their position of power that way.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a unique take that it did on, at least compared to the other four. And there's a lot of metaphor in the film too. I don't know if I should give away the twist because I really want people to just go see it.
Yeah, no, it's all right. You know, watch the movie. It's
yeah,
real
definitely
good.
Watch the movie. Great performances all around. I really loved the actress that played the sister a lot. I thought she was just really charming throughout the whole thing. And the father, who his name I'm not super familiar with yet, but he's actually like a very popular actor in South Korea.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to seeing whatever they decide to do to expand on that. But I hope it gets something. I hope he gets something at the Academy Awards. Not that that means anything, you know. Good movie's a good movie. But interestingly enough, speaking of the Oscars, so no anime this year, nothing.
Nope.
I did kind of think Weathering With You maybe had a shot because...
Yeah?
Well, the only reason of that, and it's not based on how I feel about the film or anything, it's just that G-Kids is really good at getting things nominated for Oscars.
Yeah, because they don't just handle Japanese animated films. They do all kinds of international animation.
They do a lot of international animation, but they have a world-class operation when it comes to getting stuff nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much the longest streak of any company that I know that's ever handled anime. But they know what they're doing. I thought it might have a shot, but given the release window, it probably was a long shot. Yeah, because it didn't even open here until January 7th, this week. It opened this week. That's why we're talking about it later. But, you know, depending on the release date, like, that means it won't really technically be eligible until, I think, this year. But
oh, really?
It opened in January. So
I wonder why they chose to do that release window. I'm sure it was complicated.
I'm sure it was Comics Wave's decision. I am certain that it was Comics Wave's decision. If they could have put it out last summer, right when it came out in Japan, they would have. Anyone would have leapt at that. Anyone would have said, like, wait, how soon can we put this out? It'll be like with Evangelion coming this summer, right? Mm-hmm. In June.
Yeah.
Whoever controls the rights to that in the U.S., which I'm pretty sure is still Funimation, they're going to want that shit out the same week that it comes out in Japan.
We might not get it for 3 more years.
They're not going to want to wait that long.
Right.
They will want to have a subtitled print in U.S. theaters making a couple million bucks the weekend that it opens in Japan. Like, that's what they would want. But these things are complicated, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the only thing I saw recently was Sam Mendes' 1917, which is currently a front runner for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Lindsay, have you ever seen the film Saving Private Ryan?
Well, yeah, I have.
Okay.
It was famous for a while for its, like, opening sequence being the most brutal thing on film or something. I just remember, like, there was a lot of hype when it came out because of that.
Okay, so...
A long time ago.
the hype for Saving Private Ryan's opening sequence was, on one hand, the grim reality of war. But it was also one long shot, long sequence. But that was only the first sequence. So this is Saving Private Ryan, except the whole thing is one long sequence. It doesn't cut. It's like, you ever see that movie Birdman?
You know, I bought it on DVD and still haven't watched it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. You should see it.
Yeah, I bought it on DVD.
But, it's one long shot.
Okay, there's no cuts throughout the whole thing?
No cuts. Yeah.
Wow.
They might fake it a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. I honestly have nothing to say about it other than, like, movie for people who really like war movies, old people. Like,
yeah.
I walked out of it with kind of not feeling anything.
Yeah. You're like, well, that Franz Ferdinand guy, God, sure fucked this all up, didn't he?
Sure was a war.
Yeah.
he had to find a guy anyway. I don't know. That's not a negative review. It's just like, look, this is going to be on cable at some point. And you're going to turn it on and be like, well, I'll do some cross stitching while it's... Oh, this is
that's exactly what I will be. I don't know if you was gearing that towards, like, old people watching war movies or specifically me, because both of those are accurate. Sure. I would be cross-stitching while watching this on film. I cross-stitch. So.
Yeah, no, I know. It was a targeted joke. No, I don't know. It's not that or anything. It's just
same ugliness of war and the sad young people who had to fight it.
The horrors of war. I would recommend instead watching They Shall Not Grow Old, which is a documentary Peter Jackson made that is colorized footage from World War One. That is just direct footage of World War One. It's not, you know, recreated or anything like that. And they actually put that back in theaters briefly because it was popular enough. But I would, whatever. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm looking at the Best Picture nomination list, and I'm behind on a lot of these. I still really need to see Jojo Rabbit. I'm glad it got a nomination.
None of my favorite movies from last year. That's not true. Several of my favorite movies from last year were nominated.
Yeah.
It's just I don't think they have a shot. I think the three that have a shot at actually winning are 1917, Jojo Rabbit. Not Jojo Rabbit. Actually, I don't think that stands a chance. The three I think that actually have a shot at winning are 1917, The Irishman, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then, of course, Joker. And the nominations for Joker...
There's a lot of them. They got a lot of nominations in it.
11. And it makes me not happy.
Yeah.
We did a whole
dissertation on Joker. The evils of Joker's philosophy.
If you want to know what we think about that movie, you can go back to the episode called Let's Put a Smile on That Face and hear what we have to say about Joker. But obviously, we're not happy about the Joker. Joker nominations. I just expect on the evening where the ceremony happens, I'll just be stewing when it just sweeps.
Yeah,
like I honestly, if I'm a betting person, now I've been paying attention to the Oscars since I was like, I don't know, 13 or something like that. Like,
yeah,
I've been an entertainment kid, guy, man, my whole life, and I've always cared about it, not like in a real way, but just like, you know, it's fun to watch.
I get it. I tried to throw Oscar parties in high school that no one showed up to. It's fine.
I've thrown a lot of Oscar parties myself, and I usually do a ballot. Like, I usually do predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were a betting man, I would probably put it on Joker, which totally sucks.
Yeah.
But looking at this lineup, like, in terms of things that actually have a shot, at winning, I can't believe they're making me root for Quentin Tarantino. Like, fuck you. Don't make me root for that. Come on now.
They could give something to Adam Driver for Marriage Story. That'd be nice.
Well, I'm just talking about Best Picture, but yeah, like,
yeah, I don't think Marriage Story will win Best Picture.
Marriage Story probably won't win anything. I would expect Joaquin to win for Best Actor. Like, that's a lock. It's definitely gonna happen.
Congrats, Joaquin. You get your Oscar for playing a angry white man who didn't get to have sex when he wanted to.
And he had an abusive childhood just like everybody else did. Anyway. We'll talk about more. We'll talk about that more once the ceremony actually happens. But so this week there wasn't really too much in the news. Like, wasn't really too much.
No, not really.
So instead, what I did is I made you watch...
For the umpteenth time, Zach made me watch something. And I did it.
At the same time, I would say, Lindsay, it is extremely weird that you've been working in the anime industry for a very long time and yet have not seen the film Your Name.
Well... I mean, I can tell you why when we start talking about it.
Well, that's what we're getting into now. So before we get to the new one, you told me, oh, I never saw Your Name. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
How did that happen? So I said, you should watch Your Name. So you watched Your Name.
I did.
What did you think of that film?
It sure was a Makoto Shinkai film, wasn't it?
Oh, geez. Are you super blasé about it?
I didn't cry, guys. I was expecting at least one good cry out of this after, you know, sitting back for over a year watching everyone talk about this movie. And I mean, you know, it was charming.
Oh no.
Makoto Shinkai is just like not my brand of like entertainment in general, and this is going to maybe make me sound like a weird, I don't like chick flicks either. I don't like rom-coms really. I don't usually go to movies if I think they're going to make me cry because I don't enjoy it.
I think that phrase chick flicks is like, you're not supposed to use that anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry, everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave that in anyway.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't care.
Sentimentality
is not like a draw for me for movies typically. Even though I like intense things, I like emotionally intense things and things that make me think and that are challenging, but I just don't like sentimentality for sentimentality's sake. And so I tend to avoid, and that's why I avoided this movie, because I was like, okay, so it's going to be two teenage kids. He'll invent some sort of like supernatural phenomenon to bring them together / tear them apart. And they'll be really sad about not being able to find each other. And then they will.
Right.
And that's like all his movies, right? So I saw Voices of a Distant Star. That one was fine. I appreciated that one as like, you know, pretty much a one man show, like what this guy managed to do completely solo, because I think he did all the animation.
He didn't do it completely solo, but he did make it on his home computer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, he scripted it and did he animate it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Storyboard it. I know he did the music for it.
Yeah. No, I don't know the exact production details, right. But as the legend says, yes, he made it completely on his own, on his Mac, at home. But there were other voice actors involved, sure. Even though he's one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably didn't voice the girl, so.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Right. yeah, so, like, I don't know. Listen, I actually don't disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I am not really a big Shinkai fan. But to me, Your Name really opened me up to, like, oh, boy, this is, like, a perfectly composed pop song.
Sure.
Like, it's a really well-built film. The structure of it and the story of it, and not just that, it's gorgeous, of course. You know, really beautiful. But at the time it came out, so this is that would have been, like, what, 2016-ish? This was just a few years after Fukushima.
Right.
Yeah. And the movie does do a really good job, I think, commenting on how people find each other and how we're all connected even through terrible disaster. Even through loss and sad, like horrible loss and sadness. And the articulation of that, both visually and through the narrative, I thought was really powerful.
Yeah, there's, like, even a little bit of commentary sort of similar to what Hideaki Anno did with Godzilla about, you know, the adults not listening.
Yeah.
Right. That whole, yeah.
Yeah, there is. I think it's easily his strongest work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his, you know, like Taylor Swift's best album is 1989. It's like his 1989. You know, it's like he'll probably never do better than this. And that's not a criticism. Like, most artists only have one or two true masterpieces in them.
Right.
And that doesn't invalidate their other work. It's just like, well, there's going to be one that really sticks out that's like, oh, that was the shit.
Yeah.
And to be clear, Your Name is still the number one highest grossing animated film in Japan.
Right.
Nearly $500 million. And he broke Miyazaki's Spirited Away record. Not by that much, only by about 20 million. So, like, it just kind of eked it out.
Yeah.
But he did take that crown.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure.
Pulled Miyazaki out of retirement.
Yeah, which is why Miyazaki's no longer in retirement.
Yeah. He's going to beat him with that Caterpillar movie. Just
watched. 20 years from now, whenever it comes out, and he's 150 years old or whatever.
He'll live forever. It's fine.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, no, I don't like to think about living Miyazaki. That's weird, but I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah. So, in other words, like, if you had to give this, like, a letter or score, what would you give it? Because you sound super blasé on it.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it didn't affect you at all. You were just whatever.
I mean, so I guess for me, I would give it, like, a B, but probably for other people that aren't me, A-.
That sounds fake to me.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to, like, thread the needle here. Yeah,
you're trying to be diplomatic.
I am trying
What's
to be diplomatic.
Real score,
I'm
Lindsay?
On the air saying I don't like the highest grossing Japanese anime film of all time.
Well, Lindsay, what's the real I need honesty. What's the real score?
It's a beautifully animated film.
Hey, you're dodging the question.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting all my thoughts together. So
what's the real
score?
I'm going
to give it, like, a C+ because it's really pretty.
I knew it.
I'm going to give it, like, a C+ because it's really pretty. But, you know, the parts of it that I liked were when they were swapping bodies and, like, the girl got letters from other girls and stuff. Like, I liked the bits where they were living as each other. Like, and when the boy was going out on the date, like, he fixed his coworker's skirt and stuff. Those were the parts I liked. I think it was everything, like, post time travel when the time travel got involved that I was like,
Well, yeah, but the point of all that stuff was to sort of introduce the concept of empathy for people who are not you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ties into the disaster part, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where all that's going. I thought it was a pretty great film.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I really did think it was an excellent articulation of a lot of feelings that people have that surround a tragedy of that size.
Sure. Yeah. And maybe I would have felt more close to it if I had seen it sooner, closer to that disaster, because that wasn't actually in my frame of mind when I was watching it. Like, I didn't make that immediate connection for some reason. And so that might have affected.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know.
I kind of liked the personalities of the characters in Weathering With You a little more.
Okay, so speaking of Weathering With You, which like I said, is out in theaters this week. You can see it at your local multiplex right now. That's out, and I also made you watch this.
Yes.
And I'm very curious what you thought of his latest film, Weathering With You, which, in my opinion, is basically just Your Name too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. So everything that I said that happened in Your Name,
you're like, just
happens again.
Just replace the disaster part with climate change.
With climate change. I liked the characters more, though. I liked the girl more. I liked her little brother. I liked the male protagonist more. I don't even remember any of their names, Zach.
Yeah, that's all right.
But Hina, her name is Hina. I liked Hina more in this one compared to Mitsuha. But otherwise, yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's a lot of beautiful water effects. It's raining all the time. They get, you know, mixed up with a gun at one point. There's some home, you know, the boy's homeless for a while, trying to figure out how to live on his own away from his stifling parents.
Right. Yeah. So the story of this is...
parents are always stifling in these movies.
Well, adults are always the enemy. Always the enemy.
Well, it's true.
In Shinkai's movies. And that's, you know, true in real life as well. So this is about a homeless kid who ran away from home. And we're never really told, like, why exactly he moved away from home. Or he didn't move away, he ran away from home. He gets sort of rescued by sort of a surrogate father figure and this guy who runs kind of a tabloid, sort of a 40 in time style publication about supernatural happenings. Yeah. And he gets kind of taken in by them. And there's an incident with a gun, which is really a big deal in Japan.
Because he's hanging around Kabukicho, area, and he finds a gun in a trash can and then keeps it.
I think it's
he doesn't know it's real.
Yeah,
which I don't know if that's really unbelievable or not. I mean, you can't just own a handgun in Japan, so there's not the same familiarity that we have here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So then he meets a girl named Hina, who is in kind of a questionable, let's say a questionable line of work herself. Like, I think she's like working at a nightclub and there's like shady guys who are trying to, you know, exploit her and everything. And he like saves her on the street from being assaulted. And then it turns out that what she can do, and so this is all taking place in a Tokyo where it is endlessly raining. Like, it rains every single day all the time.
Yeah, and it's like August. It's not their rainy season. Like, it's unprecedented at this point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It turns out that, I'll just get through the plot summary here.
Sure.
It turns out that she walks through the shrine, and this is actually a really old Japanese myth, is that there were shrine priestesses who can control the weather by praying. That's an old thing that's been around for a long time, but she can actually do it. Like, so she prays and then the rain stops in a certain radius around where she is. It was never really clear if it was all of Japan or just Tokyo or what.
They made it seem like it was just like sun break, so I think it was a pretty limited scope.
Yeah. So anyway, that's basically the story. And these two star-crossed lovers get separated. It's the same exact fucking story.
Are you going to leave out the dragons?
Have you seen any other Shinkai film? Then you've already seen this. Which is not trying to say it's bad or anything, but it's like Homeboy repeats himself so much. And yeah. It's like, and I think if you back to back this with Your Name, it's like, wait, I already saw this movie when it was called Your Name.
You mean like I did? Yeah, I watched these within 24 hours of each other. And oh, I was like, same God, movie
twice. Damn it. This is the highest grossing movies in Japanese
history. I want to know more about the sky fish dragon things. They kind of hint at when she makes these sunbursts, the rain is displaced. Because there's at least one scene where she does it, and then there's a scene of like an alley, and just like a downpour just happens, like a bunch of water just drops there. So I think she's actually displacing the water to somewhere else. As opposed to genuinely stopping it.
There's a lot of weird loose ends. Like yeah. I was kind of surprised at how much of the plot seemed kind of unfinished.
Yeah.
Like it needed another 20 minutes in the oven, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah. And also there's dragons in the sky.
Well, or
is that symbolic? I don't know.
The suggestion is that the sky is just another ocean.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, well, that's not what I learned in science class, but I can roll with that, I suppose.
Which means that there's ocean life,
yeah.
As well, there's ocean life and also sky life.
Uh huh.
So there's like dragons and whales and shit in the clouds or something. They never really clear that up. They also never really clear up a whole lot of other stuff. Like, so I thought this movie, like Your Name, I thought was a much better movie because, like, especially if you draw the parallels with Fukushima,
mm-hmm.
it really comes together. Like, it really comes together. It's a much tighter script. This, on the other hand, had the opportunity to comment on homelessness in Tokyo, had the opportunity to comment on gun control, had the opportunity to comment on climate change,
mm-hmm.
which I thought it was going to do, and then it kind of doesn't.
Do you feel like it's their fault? That Tokyo is underwater, like that we were supposed to take from that. Well, they decided to sacrifice the balance of the environment to be together, and now Tokyo's underwater.
That's not what I took from it. What mm-hmm. I took from it was that it was actually fully out of her control.
Okay.
And it's the same message as Your Name, which is once you find a human connection with someone else, that's the only thing that matters. And yeah, mm-hmm. we're all going through really hard times, but connecting with each other is the important part.
If she had stayed on that sky island, it wouldn't have prevented.
No, I don't. No, I'm not. That's not how I read it.
Yeah. It's just returning back to how it was supposed to
be.
Yeah,
it's just, yeah. Oh, man.
So what does that mean?
I don't know. The messages about climate change are really confused.
Yeah,
it's really like, wait, what?
I mean,
but that's not
you can go kind of existential with it and just go all the way to like, well, the Earth's climate change is Earth returning to its natural state. And that means some of us got to die.
Yeah. And we're fucked.
Humans. So
best thing you can do is get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Thanks, Makoto Shinkai.
Sign up for Tinder right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I would give Your Name like an A plus. Like, I love that movie. I thought mm-hmm. it really, all of his strengths and everything that he's good at just kind of packed into one. I don't know, it was like 120 minutes, something like that.
Yeah,
this one felt like, I better make something that outgrosses my last film. Well, yeah. What worked last time?
Yeah.
Here you go.
This time we won't have anyone drink anybody's spit. We'll cut the spit part and have more rain instead.
Except he doesn't. Except it really just feels half baked. Like,
yeah.
It's absolutely fucking gorgeous the entire time.
Like, yeah.
Beautiful film. Absolutely. The artistry is wonderful. It looks so good. But, like, Makoto Shinkai needs to, like, have a kid or something. To give him, like, something else to talk about.
Maybe, like, take a couple years off and get a college degree in, like, some other thing where that he has an interest in and then come back and make a movie about that.
Well, it's just that like all of his shit is about the same stuff over and over and over
again.
It's like teenagers separated by some supernatural bullshit. And then and they spend the second act separated. And then in the third act, they're dramatically reunited while a gentle Radwimps song plays. Like it is the same.
Also, this isn't exclusive to Shinkai, but like one, I don't know if it just causes me personally anxiety, but one of my least favorite things to happen in films is when people are looking for each other, but just missing each other. You know, like when they have the long montages of like two people searching for each other, like in a city, which... and they keep like passing each other by a couple minutes. It frustrates me physically, and I don't know why, but...
Well, here's why.
Okay.
Is because it's a contrivance and you know they're going to find each other eventually.
Get it over with.
Yeah. It's like it's one of those like I get frustrated with that too when it's like the writing sort of the script structure is like, well, the only reason this problem hasn't been solved yet is because no one will say the obvious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise all these problems would be solved.
Yeah.
You know? And like the whole script is built around like, well, they just won't tell each other how they feel. It's like, look, just come on.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty okay movie. Like, it wasn't a bad movie or anything at all. It's beautiful and it does have some resonant things to say, I suppose. But it's no Your Name. And at least in my opinion, it's no Your Name. And I hope that for his next movie, he just totally branches out.
I'd like him to do something with grown-ups where they're not horrible, maybe.
That would
be... when I watched this movie, the character I felt myself most interested in was the dad, the single dad who, you know, is having trouble like getting visitation for his daughter and wants to be taken through, you know, and his feeling of loss after his wife died. That touched me some because that's something I can directly relate to.
Yeah.
Like I could have a spouse die and then I would have, you know, children. So
yeah,
I could put myself in his shoes, I guess. I don't relate to 16-year-olds very much anymore.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's about that. It's just that the writing for the 16-year-olds is kind of, I don't want to say lame, but it's kind of lame. Like we watch a lot of anime for this show.
Yeah.
And the fact that we work at a site called Anime News Network, we watch a lot of anime.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is about teenagers.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily that I can't empathize with them. It's just that the writing could be stronger. And I think you're onto something there where it's like, please just make a movie about adults.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yeah.
Like as an experiment. See how it goes. But
complicated adults, maybe.
Unfortunately, I think the pressure is on for him to continuously outdo himself. And I hope he doesn't just keep playing the same song over and over again.
Yeah, that's got to be hard as a creator, too, to feel that kind of pressure to produce.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Like, and he's still a pretty young guy. So it's like, you know, I don't necessarily blame him, but like I would just as a consumer, just as someone, some idiot sitting in the theater watching his stuff, I would hope that the next thing is maybe a little bit more unique and doesn't just touch on the same stuff over and over again. Because I was not surprised, but I was a little surprised at how close this was to Your Name.
Yeah.
But
as far as like overall structure and character beats and everything.
Yeah, but like, you know, who could blame him, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it had so much opportunity to do something with any of that, but it kind of didn't do anything with any of that.
Yeah.
Oh, they get together in the end. All right.
Well, that's nice.
I'm going to throw my popcorn in the trash on the way out and forget about it. That's pretty
think they'll
much.
Be together forever.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
They think they do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. So that's Shinkai. And, we watched a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, for preview guide.
For preview guide. So let's talk about some fall 2019. Jesus. Winter.
What day is it?
My brain is just dying. Let's talk about some winter 2020 anime. Lindsay, what did you watch? I'm going to start from the top of the preview guide and just kind of go down.
Okay.
So did you see Somali and the Forest Spirit?
I did.
I didn't. How was it?
I thought it was cute. So the
it's all right, about next
a,
show.
Yeah, let's go to the next one. No, so it's about a golem. It's like, you know, a fantasy world. There's fantasy creatures living there. Humans exist, but they've been run off because they were racist, as humans tend to be. And a golem who's supposed to take care of the forest finds a human child there and decides to raise her, at least for the next couple years, because he's actually dying pretty soon. So in the meantime, they're traveling to try and find her a human clan to live with. And they get into, like, cutesy shenanigans.
Oh, so it's The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I've seen that show before.
Yeah, so if you want that, but it's fantasy creatures instead of aliens, there you go.
Would you recommend it?
I would, yeah. It seems pretty slow so far, though, so I guess if you want a lot of action or something like that, it might not be to your taste. It's kind of slice of life slash, what's that called? Iyashikai?
Iyashikai.
Yeah, at this point.
Okay. All right.
I can promise that there's no weird father-daughter crap in it, so you don't need to worry about that.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no bunny drop.
No, there's no bunny drop.
Yeah, there's no bunny drop.
Kind of sucks that we have to give that preface when talking about anime, but there you go.
Yeah, well, it did really well in our poll for, like, what people wanted to see reviewed. So
yeah, it did really well in the poll.
So, yeah. I did see Magia Record.
Okay, so we both really like Madoka.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear what you think of this version.
Not going to watch it.
Okay.
It looks pretty much exactly like the old show.
Yeah.
The storytelling feels like, so this is like kind of a spinoff or like an adaptation of like a mobile game.
Yeah, the gacha game.
There's a gacha game, yeah. And it is basically like, hey, we're not going to use any of the original characters, but we're basically going to tell the same story over again.
Yeah, also all the characters kind of look like the old ones.
Yeah, they look just enough. Yeah, they have different, yes, exactly. Yeah. They have different haircuts. Mm-hmm. And that's basically, and there's like baby QB.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like baby.
You could sell those like plushies right next to each other.
Sure, yeah, yeah. I thought it was just like empty lore bullshit, mm-hmm. And it did not strike me as something that was worth my time at all. I don't like this like gacha game stuff. Like,
yeah,
it always feels completely empty from a storytelling perspective. And I don't just like mindlessly watch things. Like,
right?
Like, I'm an active watcher, and the original was like potent with theme and character and all this stuff. And this is just like, hey, yes, I remember what this looked like. I remember what this felt like. You're just repeating that stuff, but you're not, the writing is not there. Like, it's clearly not there.
I feel like I will probably watch it every couple weeks, but it's not something I'm going to be glued to my seat to check every week. And that's because I like the lore bit, and I like witch designs was another aspect of the show. Tune in like just to see the witch stuff. But as far as like the first episode goes, don't really care about the main characters at all.
Unless you can. Right. Which to me is that's death to me. That's just like, OK, I'm not interested. Like, yeah. I'm not going to watch this because if I don't care about the characters and the story isn't trying to say anything, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I remember Madoka. You know what I can do? I can watch that again,
yeah,
and probably find new things in it.
Mm-hmm.
But not this bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Yeesh. Let's let's fate grand order Madoka. Let's do that, I guess.
Yeah,
let's just do that. Anyway, so next up, did you happen to catch It Invaded?
Oh, I was always reading it as ID Invaded, but yeah, I did watch the first episode of that. Admittedly, I was stoned and probably didn't understand it.
Great.
I mean, it's kind of mind fucky, right? Like the first episode had a dude who can't remember who he is, and he's inside of a he's basically like dream diving inside of a subconscious network to try and figure out a murder.
Right. So the idea is,
so I guess I wasn't that stoned,
the idea is that you insert someone who is a murderer into the mind of a murderer.
Okay.
So that they can figure out the crime.
Okay, so the guy investigating is also a murderer then?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
I didn't pick up on that.
It's like in the synopsis.
Well, I thought I was stoned, so. And then I fell asleep during the second episode, so it kind of all got pretty mixed up in there.
I fell asleep in the first 5 minutes. Like, nope. Crime drama. Uh-uh. Not for me.
I like crime drama, so I'll probably revisit it with a clear head, but, you know, I wasn't immediately drawn in, so I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, it didn't seem all that interesting to me.
Yeah,
it's like it feels like, look, there's psychopaths and then there's everything else.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
there was one of these that was really good.
A couple of the reviewers compared it to The Cell, which was a movie I was like obsessed with at one point.
Starring Vince Vaughn.
J-Lo. So,
and Vincent D'Onofrio, didn't he play the?
Was he the bad guy?
I think he was the villain in that movie. Am I misremembering? Anyway, The Cell was, it had a pretty similar premise.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you catch Pet?
Yes, I did.
So I didn't catch this one. So tell me what this is about and if it's good.
Okay. I haven't read the manga for it, which I'm not sure if that's available in English or not, but it's about psychics that can alter people's perceptions and memories and whatnot. And there's a couple characters, they're working for the Yakuza essentially and using it for intimidation tactics. Mm-hmm. The first episode's really weird because it actually doesn't take place in the perspective of the actual main characters. It's all from the perspective of this guy who runs a bar/surf shop, and he's from Jamaica, and he does some side jobs for the Yakuza every once in a while, like, don't ask any questions, just go, you know, get this out of the river sort of thing and leave it in a car and we'll come get it and give you some cash. And he figures out that the Yakuza have killed his best friend who was doing similar things for them, and he starts to put the pieces together about how they did it, that it had to do with altering his mind and basically making him drive off a cliff. So, and then it ends when you find out the two dudes who are renting an apartment above his shop they're called crushers, but they're the psychics that do that. And they make him see a bunch of stuff, but they don't kill him. And I would give it another episode since the first one's kind of weird about the perspective. It's hard to say whether it's going to be good or not, but it was at least interesting.
Yeah, that's an Amazon Prime show.
Yeah.
Right. And didn't they put out three at once?
No, not with that one. They didn't. They did that with something else, I think.
Vinland, they did that with Vinland Saga.
Okay, yeah.
But I thought they put out more than one. Anyway. I'm wrong. Anyway.
Okay. It happens to the best of us.
Well, I'm certainly not the best of us. Did you catch Bofuri?
I did watch Bofuri.
So did I. And so this is about a show about a sort of hapless girl who starts playing a VR MMO, which, boy, there's a lot of those.
Yeah,
there's a lot of shows about that this season. VR
and people with cat ears.
VR MMOs and cat people. Not cat ears, but just like animal people in general.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's about a hapless girl who starts playing a game, and she's like, "Well, I don't want to get hurt, so I'm just going to min-max all my stats into defense." And it turns out that no one's ever done that before, which is really weird.
Silly. That seems like a basic playtesting thing, but anyway.
Yeah. Well,
see what happens if we get a dork who wants to put everything into one stat.
Yeah. And then so she does that, and then it turns out to be successful, and then what will happen next week?
Yeah.
And it turns out
she gets a whole bunch of like skills and stuff. You gain skills within the game by actually doing things as opposed to like bonuses from your stats and stuff. So like she gets hit with poison and then starts building poison immunity or whatever. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Nothing offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like perfectly fine entertainment if that's your bag.
Yeah.
I will not be watching another episode of that. It just seems so empty.
Yeah.
Just you know, I've read a light novel before. Anyway, moving on. Like that was kind of my attitude towards it.
I'm not sure if there's no sign of potential conflict at this point. So I don't know if it's just going to be kind of like dorky adventures or what.
Well, it's just there's so many shows like this that unless you establish yourself up front as at least a little unique or a little interesting, I can't. It's hard for me to get into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's, yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, no offense to people who really get into that kind of thing. It's just like, this feels like chaff that no one will remember the second it stops airing.
Yeah. If I had to give it credit for anything, it'd be, they didn't like do a giant info dump at any point.
Yeah,
I remember.
No,
that so was, that was nice yeah. that I didn't have to sit through an NPC explaining the complicated mechanics of this game.
Yeah.
Like, they just let it happen. I was like, oh, that makes sense. It wasn't like hard to understand.
Yeah, I could see the there was some quality writing there, or at least they were avoiding a lot of the pitfalls that make these things like go from kind of a shrug to a ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that's on the low end of the scale is shrug to ugh.
Yeah, it's a low bar.
This one was a shrug.
Yeah, I guess I just gave it a compliment for not treating me like an idiot. So
yeah.
Thank you, Bokuri, for not treating me like an idiot. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's
good quality. Okay, so I didn't get to this one, but Lindsay, you saw Toilet Bound Hanako-kun.
I did watch that one. I didn't have familiarity with the manga, but I like supernatural stuff, and Hanako, usually not a kun, but Hanako is a urban legend that's shown up in anime like a lot about a toilet ghost.
So yeah, fun story. I've been to Namja Town in mm-hmm. Ikebukuro, which is like a little indoor theme park.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. The toilets there have like the sound of Hanako in them. Like,
is it like a creepy laugh or
it's like creepy voice, like you'll hear knocking on the door and stuff. Like, it's it's for kids.
Kids. I would not be able to like take a poop in there. I don't think
that is a very famous Japanese myth. So
yeah
anyway, so how was the show?
The show is very cute. Megumi Ogata is the voice of Hanako-kun, so which I picked up immediately. And like, this sounds vaguely like Shinji, because it's essentially his voice coming out of the ghost the whole time. But it's very stylish, but it's not really animated.
Yeah, that is one. So, you know, when we do the preview guide, like typically I have to make all the promotional stuff for it. So I got to make images and GIFs and stuff like that to promote it. And usually when I make a GIF, I'll go to the site that's hosting it and I'll make the GIF from the episode they have there. And I did notice that, like, even though I didn't really watch the show,
you couldn't find like anything to grab for an animated GIF because it's all sliding.
Yeah, it's a lot of sliding.
Yeah, they do a good job of making it look like an intentional artistic choice, but it is, I found it kind of distracting, honestly. Like, it kind of felt like watching a motion comic. A color motion comic a lot of the time.
I think it looked a little bit better than that, but that is how it struck me. Is like, oh, this isn't really animated.
Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine if the first episode's going to look like that, it'll be pretty consistent, because usually the first episode is sort of like the one to grab your attention. You know, if they're going to put a really good action scene or something in there. So I wouldn't really expect that aesthetic to change. So I'll probably keep watching it, but it did turn me off a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seemed like a cute little comedy, like,
yeah,
you know, just you know, with a, I don't know how you would, I wouldn't say it's like a catchy title, it's just like attention getting title.
Right, you're like, why is this show with cute characters?
Toilet Bound.
Yeah, on my whiteboard for the schedule, I just have toilet written on there, waiting for people to ask me about it. Like,
I'm sure
we got toilet on Thursdays.
So the next show I did not catch, but you did, was Science Fell in Love, So I Tried to Prove It.
Yeah, so this is like a guilty pleasure show, because
this is like they're in love, they're working in the same lab.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this can't be real, we need to prove it scientifically that we're in love.
Kind of.
That is what the title says.
So they're both scientists, and they're both like very data minded, and so they try to use data to form a valid hypothesis of what love, like what it is to be in love with someone, and then conduct experiments to prove the hypothesis. Of course, it's silly because they're both in love with each other. Like, they're very obviously in love with each other. So this is more just like silly shenanigans. The animation's only okay. And it's kind of one note. So I can't explain in a logical sense why I like this show so much. Like, I know everything about it is like pretty bare bones, but it's really cute. It's just really cute.
That honestly, it feels like a premise for a 90-minute movie, not a
television
whole,
series,
not yeah. a whole show.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it's sustainable.
Right. Yeah. That's what a lot of people in Preview Guide said, too. Like, you can't run this joke through 12 episodes. It won't work. They've done it through three, and I'm not annoyed yet. And they introduce other characters, too. So it's not just those two people, like, filling up the entire runtime with whatever they're doing. So that kind of helps mitigate it, I think.
Well, I suppose you'll find out just how far they can stretch a premise like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you know if I get bored around episode 5 or not.
As for shows we both saw, Smile Down the Runway, which is sort of an I think it's a little bit of an unexpected success.
It's not really what you'd expect as far as a premise for... It's a shonen manga, I think, but it's actually two protagonists, and one wants to be a fashion model, and the other one wants to be a fashion designer, which is just not really... Last time I saw something like that was like Paradise Kiss.
Yeah,
so.
It reminded me a little bit of that. But like, I understand the appeal of it because like, you know, I've watched my fair share of Project Runway and I know enough about the fashion industry. And so this is specifically like she's too short to be a model and he's too poor to be a fashion designer.
Right.
But they get together. And together, they create a look that the people who are in charge of gatekeeping such a thing are impressed with. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a compelling story. I thought it was pretty good. Like, and it's pretty good looking, too. Like, it's nicely animated. I really like the character designs. Color palette's really good. And the production design on it. Just the way they're drawing the characters and the backgrounds and everything. It looks quite good. And it's very compelling. It reminds me of something like this is something that I would, if it were like, it's not like profound or anything. So it is something that I would like consider binge watching, as opposed to every single week. This is something where it's like, oh, it's a Sunday and I'm done cleaning the house. So I'm going to sit down and watch 3 hours of television and just run them all together. Cause I know it's not going to be like really deep or anything, but it is, the characters are cute. And relatable and interesting. And I like stuff about the fashion industry. So
yeah, I'm used to. I've also watched a lot of Project Runway.
Yeah.
And I like to buy and own clothing. So
sure. Well,
what a unique too much. I guess you could say that like
thing.
Well, I'm on the record in a newspaper as being a quote unquote fashion diva, according to my mom. So I have like a little bit of a problem.
According to your mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it'd be a whole story. So we'll just instead, I'm going to say about Smile Down the Runway. I also like that they weren't afraid to make the heroine kind of a bitch. So like she's capital P privileged. You know, like her dad owns the agency and she's been raised up just thinking she would get in, of course, because she's his daughter and he named it after her. And then she didn't end up being tall enough. And she is already a model, like a magazine model. She's just not a runway model. And so that's what she's, you know, aiming for at this point. But, you know, she like makes some offhand comments towards the fashion designer boy about him being poor. You can tell she's a little out of touch.
Yeah, that's
common folk. And she'll probably like grow out of it or as she experiences more things. Like you can't just keep existing that way, especially if you're going to try and fight a stereotype or, you know, jump over a hurdle to get into the fashion industry. She'll probably have to learn to be a little more humble. So I'm interested to see like where it goes and how the characters like grow.
Yeah, almost certainly that's where it's going.
Yeah.
It's not hard to predict that.
Yeah.
They set that up. It's like, oh, this character is flawed, but perhaps they won't be so flawed by the end based on their experience. No, it seems it's compelling. I enjoy it. I'll probably watch that. I don't know. I'll probably watch it week to week. I don't know. Second to last, Interspecies Reviewers.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of
this? What did I think about Porno Yelp?
Maybe before we get to that, this show is about two guys who basically start a little thing where they review what it's like to fuck aliens.
They're not aliens. They're monster creatures.
Monster girls, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But they basically start Yelp in a fantasy environment for the best kinds of girls to fuck in the red light district of this fantasy town.
Yeah, I was going to add that they're all, it's reviews of brothels. So I feel like that's, a, I don't know, less shady than if it was like random hookups, right? Because it's a business. It's kind of a gray area where it's like, I don't know how comfortable I am with the concept of this at all.
Do you know?
But maybe it's fine.
There's a thing that exists. It's called pornography.
Yeah.
And if the only thing you care about is watching characters fuck and talk about fucking, there is porn.
Mm-hmm.
You could just watch that instead.
I feel like if you buy the Blu-rays for this, it is porn. Probably.
Basically.
I mean, they censor the titties and stuff. And I think they crop some stuff.
Unless you have a cable subscription for ATX in Japan where you can see.
Yeah, in which case, you know, you don't need to listen to us. Just turn that on and make sure that no one else is in the room. Or maybe other people are in the room. I don't know. Whatever you like.
Yeah, no. Nope. Now I'm no prude, but nope. This is not. It's not really. It doesn't feel like
a
real
show that I feel like I'll watch as a form of rubbernecking.
Like you're actually going to watch it week to week?
Maybe not week to week. I'm like fascinated with it.
The only thing that I'm interested in is how far they can stretch that premise.
Yeah.
Because it does not feel like enough to sustain an entire television series.
True. And I've also appreciated the lengths that it seems like the subtitlers are going for the translation of this, because I never thought like someone would rhyme parakeet with yeet, but they did. And sex puns, I don't know.
Memes. Who doesn't love them in their like half porn?
Yeah. Parakeet, more like yeet. And I was like, I don't, God, kill me. But also, you know, congrats on that. Yeah. At least you're having fun with it, I guess.
Yeah, not going to touch that one. Last one that I actually do want to talk about a bit here is if my favorite pop idol made it to the Budokan, I would die. So this show is about a girl who is absolutely obsessed with one of the idols in this sort of not quite there yet idol group. Like they're not really all that famous yet. And she is known among that idol group's mega fans for being the biggest mega fan.
Yeah.
And she's particularly obsessed with this one idol who, you know, so in Japan, in the idol industry, not necessarily just in Japan, but in the idol industry, a lot of times you will do these handshake events.
Right.
Where you buy, like, if you buy 10 CDs or 5 CDs or whatever at once, you will get tickets to shake the hand of the, or take a picture with the idol that you're the most obsessed with, which is exploitative and awful.
Weird.
It's weird. And you know, you know, your mileage may vary, but I find that to be exploitative. In this show, she is super, super obsessed with this one girl in this one idol band, interestingly named Cham Jam. Cham is the name of the group in the film Perfect Blue. Now, have you ever seen the film Perfect Blue?
Oh, you bet I have.
Okay. So this show, to me, now it might change. It might be different down the road. I don't know. But it creeped me out because it was like, well, if we turned the stalker into a girl, but basically copy a bunch of the story beats from Perfect Blue, but then also kind of suggest that it might turn into a romance. I don't know, man. It bugged me. It was like, what? Like, what if we made Perfect Blue cute and non-threatening and, like, not actually commentative on the idol industry? Like, really?
Yeah, so after watching it, or while watching it, I also felt deeply uncomfortable with the actions of the idol fan characters. I can't relate to them at all. It all seems not just eccentric, but, like, creepy. And the main character included, I think she goes by the name Ari Peel or something like that, which is
hard
to say. You know, they point out that she wears the same tracksuit everywhere because that's her only clothing because she spends all of her money on merchandise for this idol. And I'm trying to think of like a scenario where if I was a performer and someone showed up at all of my shows and was always wearing the same exact clothes every single time, that I wouldn't be like, there's something up with that person. You know, like all of it has, she has all the hallmarks of being like an overly obsessed creep. And they do imply that Mina finds her endearing or wants to talk to her, but is too shy or something to speak with her. Like they have like a missed connection almost for that reason. But my instinct is that Ari Peel should be, I don't know, in therapy.
Yeah. You think?
I mean, she's also like college age, right? So this isn't like a teen girl or teen boy being obsessed with a celebrity and having posters in their room or something. You know, this isn't like the Farrah Fawcett poster. It's way beyond that. She's like an adult.
I don't know. It really creeped me out. It creeped me out. And I don't know where the story goes. Maybe it goes, the end of the first episode suggests that the idol also wants to connect with her.
Right, right.
Which, let me tell you, the idols do not really ever want to actually connect with these super obsessive creeps.
Right.
And suggesting that they do is a fantasy that has nothing to do with real life.
Also kind of irresponsible considering...
Irresponsible, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what because, I would call it.
Yeah, a lot of... I mean, we've written about it on the site. There are plenty of super obsessed fans that just decided to find out where one of them lived and followed them home.
There's been like violence at idol events.
Yeah.
Like it's not... Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think this is based on a manga or a light novel or something.
Yes, it's based on something.
I would be interested for someone to just spoil it and tell me like what happens, because I kind of don't want to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be easier to just be like, okay, so where is this actually going? Just get to it. Tell me what it actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you had knowledge beforehand that this wasn't going to get absolutely creepy, then you would feel okay tuning into it because you don't want to just find that out four episodes in that it's not going anywhere.
Well, no, it's just that I don't want to waste my time. So okay. It's just like, yeah. Just tell me, just what is it? Because I am curious if it stays this way, because then it's kind of like, ugh. Like,
yeah.
Really? Ugh.
She has one friend out of the three of them that seems okay. Like there's the I think he's blonde. And he's the one who seems like the most normal out of the three as far as like his
it's not really
admiration.
About, it's not really about normal. It's not right. To me, it's not that. It's not about normal. It's about obsession.
Right. Okay. He seems the least obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, which is the two different things there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that one creeped me the fuck out. And this season I will be reviewing Keep Your Hands Off Azuken, which it continues to be excellent, and you can see my reviews of that on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Really enjoying the show.
Yeah.
Really. Oh, it's so good. But I'll talk about that in my reviews. Anyway, we got some Twitter questions, so let's get to that.
Okay.
Zardoz asks, really, Zardoz? Oscars. If y'all had the power to change the little golden man at the Oscars to some other little golden effigy, what sort of effigy would you choose?
So we're thinking of what the award itself looks like.
What the statue would look like. Yeah. Mm. It's a good question. However, I don't feel like I have a good answer for it.
Yeah, I can only think of something silly, and it would be silly just to be silly, which probably the point.
I don't think
like, change it to a pickle. I don't know.
It's definitely intended to be a silly question.
Okay, so. Then change it to a pickle. Okay. I would change it to a pickle. He doesn't like a good pickle.
I would change it to an exhausted ticket taker. He's got like the podium, just looks really tired. Working in a movie theater for 12 hours a day. Okay. Saburo asks, will Shinkai's next film be two sentient clouds literally drifting apart? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
At this point, let's see here.
Maybe next time one of them will be a robot.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
Or a sentient sex doll.
Oh, that would be a changeup for him.
Yeah, it would be a changeup.
Yeah.
Or would it?
According to Tomino, it would.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see here. High Tech Low Life asks, how do I become a more discerning consumer of media? Sometimes find myself watching something and enjoying it just to find out that it's been reviewed badly, even by you guys.
Well,
well, first of all,
the arbitrators of taste.
We are not.
That was going to be my point. There are no arbitrators of taste. Yeah,
you like what you like. Yeah. You're not a bad person for enjoying whatever the hell you want to enjoy. Like,
yeah, everyone in Preview Guide hated Scientists Fall in Love, so they tried to prove it. But I still like it anyway.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
So yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah.
No. No. Of course I don't mean that. But I'm a big booster of the idea that like you don't like only listen to or watch criticism of things that you've seen if you're interested in someone else's opinion on it, but their opinion doesn't invalidate yours. And there's all of this is subjective. All of us are just, you know, brains in a meat bag.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you're wrong and we're right, or we're right and you're wrong, or whatever. It's not that. It's just, you know, you might have some disagreements or something like that, but just don't let people make you feel bad for liking something that you like and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you don't have to. You don't have to care. It's just not something you have to worry about.
Yeah, I feel like the best thing that could come out of it is maybe growing some sort of understanding about why someone maybe didn't like it and being like, well, I understand why they felt that way.
Well,
but I feel this way and I still like it. And both are fine.
Engaging in conversation about the art that you consume is, to me, the spice of life. Like, that's the fun part is, oh, we get to exchange opinions. And maybe you didn't like it as much as I did, or I didn't like it as much as you did, or whatever. But that's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be engaging, and it's supposed to help you think a little deeper about the things that you watch. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you have really bad taste or anything. It just means that you like what you like. The only thing on this I will say is that it is good to expand your horizons.
Right. And you don't have to always stay in your safe zone.
Yeah. You don't have
That's why I watched Your Name.
Uh-huh. So I participate in the show, I think.
Yeah, it's fake to the show. I mean, I was going to say, critically speaking, my opinion on Your Name is wrong. That's okay. I still just didn't like it that much.
Yeah, well.
That's all right.
Well, we can't always be right. Anyway. just don't worry about it, man. Like, if you like reading criticism, read the criticism. If you don't like it, or if it makes you feel bad, don't read it. It's, you know, you're good. You're good.
Yep.
Ruben Barron asks, was the ending of Weathering With You supposed to be that existentially horrifying, or was that an accident? I don't really want to spoil the ending of the film, but I think the answer to this is accident. nothing in media is really an accident. I just, thematically, that movie is a little mixed up. It's a little, what?
We're all sinking, everyone.
What are you trying to say here? Yeah, it's a little like that.
Yeah.
Craig 68 asks, best Shinkai work besides Your Name, excluding Weathering With You. I don't think you can answer. Can you answer this?
5 centimeters per second. That's the only one that made me feel anything.
Which, funnily enough, is pretty much the exact same story.
Right. But it felt like a smaller film.
Yeah.
As far as like its scope.
And
I think the motions resonated with me a little better because it was smaller.
Yeah. I think the chapter stuff in that kind of helped it. A little bit. Like, I don't really like 5 centimeters per second that much, but the format, I think, helped it. And it's also only an hour.
Yeah.
So
you could also just watch the 5.5 minute music video version and get the same experience. Yeah. I watch that sometimes. So
Tom Tivicat asks, does Weathering With You offer as potent a metaphor for communication as Your Name does? No.
No.
Chandler Busila asks, which do you prefer, dub or sub for Your Name? Well, the dubs for both of these films are very good. They're excellent. They are made by NYAV Post. That's Mike Sinner-Nicholas and Stephanie Shea. Excellent dubs. Really good work. Now, I tend to watch everything subtitled. But in the case of those films, if I'm just going to leave it, like, especially with Your Name, if I'm just going to leave it on in the background, I'll definitely turn on the dub. Mm-hmm. But first time, I always want to see the sub first. Always. Mm-hmm. That's just my preference. But they're both excellent dubs. Like, really, really good. Let's see. Justin Sarah asks, what message did you ultimately take away from the film's climate change metaphor? For me, certain lines skirted a little too close to common climate change denial, talking points for comfort, but this ultimately settled on reassuring, this is happening, but we'll do this together. I agree with that. I think that's kind of what it was getting at. It's just that it doesn't really commit to it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really commit to much of anything, except these two kids, they belong together. Like, that's the only real thing.
Doggone it, they're gonna make it after all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to walk away from that with a coherent take on, wait, so climate change? Is that... It's kind of hard to walk away from that with, like, any real serious understanding of any of that, or, like, what is he trying to say about this? Anyway. Let's see. Last question. Kat says, Voices of a Distant Star opinions, go.
I mean, I liked that one.
Yeah,
it's a little rough around the edges now, but I liked it's the originator of the theme of all of his movies, right? Girl goes off into space, their only connection is their cell phone text messages, and it takes longer and longer for them to get back and forth to each other as she's further and further out into space. So the memories he has of her they're not even representative of who she is at the time that he reads them, because it's taking like 7 years. It's kind of like how light travels through space. You know, you're seeing a shadow of it,
right,
so to speak. Yeah.
And the DNA, like the DNA of pretty much everything he made afterwards is in that. It's in there. Like you can see, like, oh, you're kind of going to remake this over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's an impressive piece of work, considering how its production and the sort of novelty of the story, and you know, it's pretty well written, I think. And
how long is it? I don't remember.
It's only like 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's under an hour. But yeah, I like that one. I think it's pretty good. And you can definitely see like exactly where all the rest of the shit came from if you watch that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay, well, that does it for us. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. See you next week.
We'll see you next time. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Lindsay for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little rating, a review. You know, it helps the show anywhere you find your podcasts. And thanks for listening. We'll see you all next time.